Okay, sorry I was not able to be here this morning to give guidance in terms of what you're looking. Thank you very much. In terms of what you're looking for in the Makoros, so I guess to sort of pregame it right now, as we mentioned a few days ago, the Tosos of here in Lamed Tes Amud Aleph has three distinct parts, each of which deserve their own shir. And in fact, we've given a shir on each of the first two parts, and now we're going to have on the third part of this Tosos. And essentially what Tosos discusses is what happens if you say a bracha on food. You have the food in your hand, this hand, the right hand. You have the food in the hand, and you say a bracha on the food, and then before you eat the food, you drop it, and it gets ruined, it gets destroyed, but you have another piece of it on your plate. Can you just take the other piece from your plate and eat that instead, or do you need to recite a new bracha? So what we're going to do with that is try to use this as a basis for a discussion about how brachos work in general. When you make a bracha on one item and then it gets switched for another item, is there a specific rule that we always go to in terms of whether you need another bracha? And we're going to see what poskim say throughout all of, not all, but throughout many different mitzvahs. We'll explore seven or eight different mitzvahs. See, our Tosos is about a Birchas Hananim, but there's a lot of discussion in Poskim about when these things happen with Birchas Hamitzvahs. What if you say a bracha on the shofar? You then look at the shofar and you see it has a crack in it, has a hole in it. So you need to go and quickly replace it with another shofar. Do you need to say a new bracha? What if you say a bracha on your tefillin? The ritzuos are ruined or snapped and you need to fix the ritzuos or even replace the ritzuos. Do you need to say a new bracha? You said a bracha on a talis, you realize that one of the corners is cut off, so you need to get a different talis in place of the first talis. Do you say a new bracha? Now, one would expect that in all of these examples, or you're about to do pidyon ben on your ben habachar, and you look at the money and you realize that it's the wrong money, that it's pennies, it's not silver, whatever, it's the wrong money. So you need to go and replace the money. Do you say a new bracha? So one would imagine that in all of these cases, the halacha is going to be the same, and it should be clear-cut, it should be straightforward, and we should use whatever the Shulchan Aruch says in our case and go from there, and then say that the same is going to apply everywhere. But what we're going to find is that there might be a distinction between Birchas Hananim and Birchas Hamitzvos. And if only life were that simple, it would be great. The problem is, we're going to see that there might be a distinction within Birchos HaMitzvos. And that's going to be more troubling, because to distinguish Birchos and Birchos HaMitzvos, whatever svara you want to come up with, you can come up with a svara. You could say that they're meant to accomplish different things. A Birchos Hananim is meant to accomplish one thing, and a Birchos HaMitzvah is meant to accomplish something else. But within Birchos HaMitzvos, we're going to have a little bit more of a challenge to try to figure out why it should be different. What further complicates things is that there is no uniform view in Poskim about how to approach these situations of Birchos HaMitzvos. So we're going to have to try to figure out what exactly the Poskim are arguing about when we come across such machlokos in Birchos HaMitzvos. But that's the pregame. So let's start with our Tosos. So what does our Tosos actually say? So, Va'od Yesh B'Yerushalmi. Tosos is in the middle of quoting Yerushalmi, so he says, once I'm mentioning Yerushalmi, let me tell you something else it says in Yerushalmi. Hecha debaruch at termosa lemichle. A person makes a bracha on termosa. What's termosa? Doesn't matter. For this Tosos, it doesn't matter what termosa is. A person makes a bracha on a food. The point is, it's an edible. That's the point. He says a bracha on a food, planning to eat it, v'nafal miyade, and it falls from his hands, and therefore, presumably, the floor was not clean. It falls and it gets ruined. V'shakal achrina, so he takes another one, boi bruche zimna achriti. He has to recite another bracha. That first bracha didn't count. So imagine you sit down to, let's say, termosa is jelly beans. I don't know why we've been on jelly beans so much lately, but you have a bowl of jelly beans in front of you. You know the halacha, you're supposed to hold something in your hand when you recite a bracha. So you pick up one jelly bean in your right hand, you say the bracha, and the jelly bean falls out of your hand onto the ground and gets stepped on or something. So you take another jelly bean out of the bowl, says Yerushalmi, new bracha. So I ask Yerushalmi, Navi's Kasha. Yerushalmi says, Paruch, Maishna me amas hamayim. Why is this any different than a water fountain? Let's not even say a water fountain. You go to, he's talking about an amasamayim, you go to a stream of water and you want to lap up some water to drink some water from the stream. So by definition, when you're saying a bracha, you're not saying a bracha on the water, you're not going to drink the water that's in front of you at the time that you're saying a bracha. Meaning the water's constantly moving, it's flowing downstream. So when you say a bracha, there's this water in front of you. When you actually bend down to drink, it's already different water that's in front of you. Take a water fountain as a good modern-day example of that. You turn on the water fountain and you recite a bracha on the water. But by the time you bend down to drink, that water's gone and it's new water. Shouldn't that require a new bracha? Shouldn't you have to gather it in a cup first and then say a bracha so that your bracha will be on exactly that water? So the Yerushalmi asks this question, you said a bracha to drink, but the water's gone and now it's other water. And you don't have to say a second bracha when new water comes. Umishani, the Yerushalmi answers, Hacha havadaito mitchila lazeh sheyodea sheyolch lehen. By the Amas Hamayim, you knew that the water that was in front of you at the time of the bracha was not the water that you were going to drink. And therefore, well, there is no and therefore. He doesn't say what the therefore is. We have to figure out the therefore. You knew that the water that was in front of you at the time of your bracha was not the water you were going to drink. It was the water that had yet to come downstream. Aval bitramosa lo yada sheyiplu miyado. But when you made the bracha on the jelly bean, you didn't know you were going to drop it. You thought you were reciting a bracha on what was in your hand at the time. V'yomer baruch shem kol machsodi olam ve'ed, v'yishom dava bracha levatel. The truth is, that should have been a fourth shir in this Tosfos about what exactly the status of baruch shem kol machsodi olam ve'ed is. But there is this notion that when you said a bracha levatel, you say baruch shem kol machsodi olam ve'ed, and it partially corrects it, because it would have otherwise. It is a bracha levatala. So he says v'chein nachon lomar al kol bracha levatala baruch shem kol machsel on that. And it's nachon to say in every bracha levatala baruch shem kol machsel on that. Since we're not going to get to it, I don't know if we're going to have time this summer to have a shiur baruch shem kol machsel on that. But just a simple diuk. Is Tosa saying that it's not a bracha levatala anymore because you said baruch shem kol machsel on that? No, he clearly says you should say Baruch Shem Kol Machsel on Ve'ed because it is a bracha levatala, and it's the right thing to do when you say a bracha levatala is to recite Baruch Shem Kol Machsel on Ve'ed. What?
Sounds like he patches it up a little.
Yeah, it patches it up a little bit, but it doesn't rid you of the avera of bracha levatala. Meaning there's no such thing that you're going to recite some sort of passage and it's going to fix the problem of bracha levatala. I think I may have mentioned earlier in the summer the example, like we don't have such a thing where you walk into a room on Shabbos and you accidentally flip on the light and you realize, oh no, and you could just say, V'krasa l'Shabbos oneg, or V'shamra v'nei l'Shabbos, and all of a sudden, oh no, now it's okay, now it's all right. So what happens most of the time, you flip on the light, so no, it was, you have to figure out, was it shogeg, was it masasek, do you have your shemayim, or do you look around and then shut it before anyone sees, you know, like, hopefully not. So yeah, you have to figure out what it is. But there is no statement that you can say that will undo whatever you just did. Baruch Shem Kol Machsel on Ve'ed doesn't undo it. It's just a way of showing that you are mechabed the Shem Hashem, because a bracha levatala, ultimately, what a bracha levatala is, what's so terrible about a bracha levatala, and it's considered an isur chamur, shows that you don't take the Shem Hashem seriously. Because you're taking the Shem Hashem and you're using it, you're throwing it around when it's not necessary. So a way of showing that you do take the Shem Hashem seriously is by saying Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Va'ed, just to show that this isn't a reflection of your overall attitude, it's a reflection of a momentary failure rather than your overall attitude. That's the idea of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Va'ed. Or Pashtus, that's the Pashtus Pshat of what the idea is. But let's not get bogged down in that. Let's go back to Tosa's point. So Tosa's had a kasha. It's not Tosa's kasha, Yerushalmi had a kasha. Why is it that when you say a bracha on the jelly bean that's in your hand, and then you drop it, you have to say a new bracha on the next jelly bean, yet when you say a bracha on water that's coming out of the water fountain, even though that water's gone by the time you drink it, it's fine. You're allowed to just drink whatever water's coming out at the moment that you bend down to drink. So what did Tosa say? Well, when you made the bracha on the jelly bean, you really thought you were going to eat that jelly bean that was in front of you. When you said the bracha on the water, you never thought you were going to drink that water that was in front of you at that moment. You knew the whole time that you were going to end up drinking other water. So what? What's the svara? I don't think it's a complicated svara, but what's the svara? Let's just get clear what Tosas is actually saying over here. What?
You made bracha on the specific food and not the rest, as opposed to the water. You made bracha on the...
So what Avi's suggesting is when you said a bracha on the jelly bean, your bracha was on jelly bean number one, because that's what you were planning on eating. Whereas on the water, your bracha was on all the water in the world. Let's say it wasn't water that was upstream. You said a bracha on the water in the stream, and someone comes running with a cup of water from somewhere else. Can you drink that without a bracha? Well, I thought you were making a bracha on all the water in the world. It's a bracha stam, on water.
The water that's coming down the stream.
Meaning your bracha is specific. It's just specifically not on this. It's on what's going to be coming downstream, right? It's what's going to be, right? The bracha that is currently upstream, that's going to be coming downstream. It's the bracha that... So you did say a bracha on something specific, but it was a bracha on that. So which might turn out somewhat interesting then, because what if you don't bend down to drink right away? Or all of a sudden the atmospheric conditions change in such a way where a giant wave comes and it goes much faster than you could have anticipated. The water comes by much faster than you could have anticipated. So the water you were planning on drinking is gone, and now there's water that was further upstream. So maybe then you should have to recite a new bracha. Meaning what Tosfos is saying is that you don't have to say a new bracha when you ingest that which you said your original bracha on. It's just a question of what did you say your original bracha on? By the case of the jelly bean, your original bracha was on a jelly bean. By the case of the water, your original bracha was not on the water in front of you. It was on the water that was going to be coming, that you were expecting to have coming.
Your bracha on the body water?
What's that?
Your bracha on the body of water, because if it's on the water to come, then it's not in front of you, making the bracha.
So maybe when something's not in front of you, the bracha is not on the water that you're planning on drinking, it's on the entire body of water. Yeah?
Also, like, if you make a bracha, if you have one jelly bean, like, you usually have, like, a bag or a bowl of where else they're coming from, so it's like the same thing like the body of water. There's more of...
But that's a kasha. What Zev is pointing out is going to be a big kasha now, because Yerushalmi says you have a bowl of jelly beans. It doesn't talk about jelly beans, but you have a bowl of jelly beans. You set a bracha on the one that you had in your hand. You drop it. You need a new bracha on the rest of the... But weren't you planning on eating the rest of the bowl? Why is that different than the body of water?
It would be the same as a still body of water. That's not moving.
It doesn't sound like they're bringing more lefanav. You had it all in front of you. Shakal achrina, you took another one. It would become more clear... Did I put the Beis Yosef in the Maror Mekomo? So sort of throwing things. If you saw the Beis Yosef, he quotes a machlokas we've shown him about this. If you have everything, and it plays out in Shulchan Aruch, I'm sure I did put the Mechaber Rama on. So if you have a table of food in front of you, and you say a bracha on one item, but there's a whole table of food in front of you, can you say that, okay, it was on everything that's on the table, it was on everything that was in front of me? Who says that way, that the bracha is on everything that was in front of me? That's the Rama. The Mechaber, though, doesn't say that way. The Mechaber says, no, my bracha was on that first piece of food. So it turns out the way and Mechaber's passing like Tosos. If you look in Beis Yosef, he said, and the Rama realizes that Tosos is against him. The Rama in Darkei Moshe quotes a whole bunch of Chachmei Ashkenaz that go against the Balei Tosos on this issue, and that's what the Rama is paskening like all those Chachmei Ashkenaz that go against the Balei Tosos. But according to the Balei Tosos, your bracha is only on that first piece of food. It is on nothing else. It's only on that first piece of food. Well, wait a second. Yeah?
I thought Tosos was saying that if you have das, like by the body of water, by the stream, if you have das, that your bracha is not on this specific thing, but it's on the whole thing, then you can't.
Another possibility of what Tosos might mean is that it's not that your bracha is on the water that will be here. Your das is that your bracha should be, I guess is what you're saying, your das is that your bracha should be on everything because you don't know exactly what it is that you're going to eat. You know that it's from this stream, but you don't know exactly which water from the stream, so your das is on all of it instead of on the first piece. Now, Rav Shechter in Eretz HaTzvi points out that this is a that this Tosfos seems to be a raya, as we mentioned earlier in the summer also, that when one recites a bracha on a bowl of jelly bean, on a jelly bean, and eats a whole bowl of jelly beans, it's not that he said a bracha on a whole bowl of jelly beans. You see clearly from this Tosos, your bracha is on the first jelly bean. The rest of the jelly beans don't require a bracha. Meaning, it's not that you're saying a bracha that's chal on everything. The bracha is not chal on everything. The bracha is chal on the first item that you eat. And it's just that when you said a bracha that worked on the first item that you eat, now everything else that normally would get that same bracha doesn't require a bracha at all. What? Yeah, right. Rav Shechter's point is to apply this to Birchas HaMitzvos, which we'll see if we can. So that's what seems to emerge from this Tosfos. And the case of water is different. You drink from a water fountain, what should you do? What's the proper procedure?
Turn on the water.
So I was always taught, turn on the water before, and then recite the bracha, because you're supposed to have the food in front of you at the time that you say the bracha. L'chora, according to Tosfos, doesn't help, right? Because your bracha's not on that anyway. Your bracha's not on the water that's in front of you anyway. Your bracha's on the water that is coming. That's if you understand Tosfos as Avi understood, that the bracha is specifically on what's going to be coming, right? The bracha is specifically on what is not yet here. But if you say, like Yaakov said, that the bracha is on the not on what's going to be coming, the bracha is on all of it. It's on all of it. So then the bracha is on all of it. So I want some of all of it in front of me at the time of the bracha. So it would make sense to turn on the water. Yeah.
There's some people that don't drink from water fountains, unless they have a cup that they poured the cup that they filled up first. Would it be based on how you understood the Tosfos?
It could be. It could be if there's such a brother. I think some people just think it's not their cheretz. They feel like an animal drinking from, you know, like they feel like they want to drink with a little bit of a cover. Yeah.
According to the Tavi thing, the Tosfos, that it's like a specific piece of the water. So wouldn't you calculate like which piece of the water that is?
Right, so that's what I was saying, that if the water rushes a little faster, you're not going to know exactly which. Yeah, in a tsunami, like that seems to be a problem.
You would have to like, look at the water and be like, it's going this, just make like a rough estimate.
Yeah, that's very difficult, because that assumes a lot of knowledge of physics and, you know, like the pull of gravity as the water comes down and the exact speed of the, yeah, that assumes, you know, reminds me, I mentioned on Shabbos in Shul, Rav Asher Weiss has a discussion about the concept in Hilchos Shabbos of a melach shein tzricha legufa, not melach shein tzricha, of a davar shein meskavin, right? And he says that there's a discussion in Poskim, maybe we'll talk about this in Tamil Halacha tomorrow. There's a discussion in Poskim between a Davar Shein HaMeskavin, whether there's a difference between a Davar Shein HaMeskavin and Hilchos Shabbos. Anyone here learn Hilchos Shabbos anytime recently? A little bit, yeah? So, okay. So, is there a difference between a Davar Shein HaMeskavin and a Safik Psik Reisha? You familiar with that concept? What's a Safik Psik Reisha? So, what's a real Psik Reisha? Real Psik Reisha is that if I chop off a chicken's head, it's a chicken's going to die, right? That's the example that's given, whether it's, even though I'm only chopping off that because I like to play with chicken heads because they're cool and they freak out my sister or something, you know. But I'm not trying to kill the chicken, but it's obvious that when you chop off its head, it's going to die. That's an automatic. Suffolk psikreshe is, what's Suffolk psikreshe? Well, what's Davar Shein HaMeskavin? Davar Shein HaMeskavin, classic case of Davar Shein HaMeskavin? It may or may not happen. So what's the classic example? Come on, you know the classic. I'm dragging the bench. So I drag a bench. It used to be in camp. They used to have benches. Nowadays, we're in a fancy schmancy camp, so we have chairs. But when I was a kid in camp, everything was on benches. You know the famous picture of a Moshe sitting with his talus katan over his shirt learning, and you see, like, I don't know, like wheat growing in the background. I don't know, kind of just, it's just grass that was never ever cut. You know, he wasn't in such a beautiful camp. And, you know, he was sitting on a bench. You notice there's no back to the chair that he was sitting on. Rav Moshe didn't need the back to a chair of any chair that he ever sat on, because he always went to the Gemara. He held Beshita. You don't bring the Gemara to you. You go to the Gemara. So he was always hunched over the Gemara. But So you're dragging the bench. So if you're dragging a bench, you don't know if it's going to dig a hole in the ground or not going to dig a hole in the ground. That is a davar sheino miskaven. Why? Because you don't know the result. What about the following case? What's the classic case? Something psikreshe.
Exactly 50-50% chance.
No, I wouldn't say exactly. Let's say you're not sure. There was an animal running around camp, let's say, and at some point it went into the Beis Medrash. Now you're not sure if it's still in the Beis Medrash, but the door to the Beis Medrash is open. And you're not sure if the deer that ran in is still here or it went out the other door. If it is still here and you close that door, you're violating Seder. You're trapping it, because this Beis Medrash is tiny, so it's enough to be considered, maybe not for a deer, because the gedder of Seder is that you can get it in a single lunge, right? So I don't know if you can. If you were in a room with the deer in this Beis Medrash, would you get it in a single lunge? It would get you in a single lunge. So you're not sure if the deer is in the Beis Medrash. The door is open. You close the door. If the deer is here, it's psikreshe, obviously. Now, you're closing the door not to trap it. You're closing the door to keep the air conditioning in. Right? You're closing the door for a totally different reason. If the deer is in the Beis Medrash, it's psikreshe. Of course you're trapping it. If it's not in the Beis Medrash, of course you're doing nothing. You don't know if it's in the Beis Medrash or not. That's a suffix psikreshe. Is that the same as davar sheino miskaven? Realize I'm going very far afield over here, but just for a mashal. But Rav Asher Weiss has this amazing kasha where he says, isn't every davar sheino miskaven a suffix psikreshe? Why? Dragging the bench. What? It may happen or may not happen. Whether it happens or not is already predetermined. I just don't have all the information in front of me. I mean, if I understood physics and I understood soil conditions and I understood, you know, the effect of a weight of a bench carried at a certain angle, you know, and I at a certain speed, I would know. I would be able to. A scientist would be able to predict with 100% accuracy if he's able to study the soil and he's able to study the weight of the bench and the angle with which you're carrying it and the speed with which you drag it. He will be able to predict with 100% accuracy whether you're going to make the hole in the ground or not. Just like, if there's a deer in the room, I can predict with 100% accuracy when you close the door, you're trapping it. And if there's no deer in the room, I can predict with 100% accuracy when you close the door, you're not trapping it. You're just missing that knowledge of, is there a deer in the room or is there not? So he says, isn't that scientific knowledge just like the knowledge about the deer in the room? It's a little more sophisticated, but you're just lacking the knowledge. So every suffix psikreshe should really be a davar sheino miskaven. That's his kasha. It's a very fascinating, fascinating kasha. Why did it remind me of that? Because he's assuming that you know that cheshbon is like part of the, you know, that complicated cheshbon is part of the the everyman approach to Hilchos Shabbos. His answer is that it's not, that we can't expect such a complicated cheshbon. But that's the assumption. So you can make the same assumption by Hilchos Brachos, that we're doing a cheshbon of exactly how long it's going to take for the water that's, you know, 7 feet upstream. How fast do I say a bracha? I better not close my eyes and say it with more kavanah, because then it's going to be the water that's not. You know, what if I get inspired mid-bracha and it takes a little bit longer? You know, so that's a lot to assume. And, yeah?
Is there a limit to how big the amount of water that I'm making?
Also a good question. I mean, once Tosfos is going to say this vart, that the bracha is only on the first thing that you eat. So does it have to be something that the Beis Habliya could be machzik, that it has to be an amount that you can actually eat at one time? Or can it be on an enormous amount that you say the bracha on? Okay, these are all very good kashas. Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Siman Reish Vav Siv Vav, Natal Biyado Pri Liachlo, you take a fruit in your hand to eat it, Ubir Echalav, and you say a bracha, and then V'nafal Miyado V'nevaro Nimas. It falls out of your hand, it gets ruined, it's disgusting. Tzorich Lachzor Levarich. You need to recite a new bracha. Av Al Pi Shehayo Me'osa Min Lefanav Yoser Kishabirech Alarisha. Even though the whole bowl of jelly beans was in front of you the entire time, I have to say new bracha on the second jelly bean, meaning Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like Tosos, and he also very clearly understands Tosos that it was all in front of you at that time. Says the Ramah, Rak Shalohay Daito Alav Liachlo. This is assuming that you never intended on eating the rest of the bowl. You only intended on eating that first jelly bean. Now, whenever the Rama adds a comment like that, the question you have to ask yourself is the Rama being mefarish the Shulchan Aruch, or is he being cholik on the Shulchan Aruch? So the truth is, this is something that's very simple to figure out. If you learn Beis Yosef, you see very clearly what he's doing, but not everyone learns Beis Yosef and Darkei Moshe, so the Bir Halacha sort of fills us in. And the Bir Halacha says, it's a davar pashut, the Rama is being cholik on the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch holds, even if I plan on eating the entire bowl of jelly beans, the bracha only goes on that first one, not on the rest of the bowl. Therefore, I drop that first one, I'm going to have to make a new bracha on the second one. The Rama disagrees. And the Rama says, if I plan on eating the entire bowl, my bracha goes on the entire bowl. And if I drop that first one, I do not have to say a new bracha. If the bowl was not in front of me, or I wasn't planning on eating the entire bowl, good, so then obviously my bracha is only going to go on what I plan on eating. So the whole Yerushalmi would only work if I only planned on eating one jelly bean. So I didn't plan on eating that second one. So that's when I would have to say a new bracha. That is the Shita Sarama. The Rama is being cholik on the Mechaveh.
This be like a Machlokas Rav Schechter's piece, how he says that one jelly bean, you eat it, and that you don't have to make a bracha on anything else. So if you don't end up eating that one jelly bean, then it doesn't cover everything else, and you have to take a new one and make a new bracha, and therefore you don't have to make a bracha on anything else.
That's the Mechaber.
As opposed to the Rama, who's saying, no, the bracha is going on everything. It's not, and therefore it patters everything. It's not like you don't have to
right.
make
Rav Shechter's Ha'ara from Tosfos is against the Rama.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning, because he's saying this is what comes out from Tosfos. This is what emerges from Tosfos. But it's against the Rama. The Rama would say, whatever you plan on eating, that's what the bracha is going on. It's going on all that you plan on eating. If someone surprises you and brings you something new that you weren't planning on eating, okay, that's a different story. There is a third shita that the Bir Halacha quotes, and he says that, you know, from the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, what would be the following case? I don't have plans. There's a jelly bean in my hand. I'm going to eat it. Stam das. I'm not planning on eating a bowl of jelly beans. You know, I don't plan that far ahead. I know that jelly beans, see, like, eat. Good? Right? That's all I know. That's as sophisticated as my brain is at the moment. I don't have the energy to plan 3 seconds in the future. So what would the halacha be in such a case? You drop that first jelly bean. Would you say a new bracha? So Bir Halacha suggests that even both according to the Shulchan Aruch and according to the Rama, you would have to say a new bracha. Even according to the Rama, you'd have to say a new bracha because you weren't planning. You would need positive planning to eat everything else. But stam das. We assume stam is whatever you're holding, whatever that first bit of food you're about to put in your mouth is. However, many other Rishonim, Bir Halacha points out, disagree, including the Ravid that's quoted in the Beis Yosef, and hold that mistama, your das is kol hamunach ala shulchan lefanav. Whatever is on the table in front of you, that's your das. And you don't have to have specific das, but if it's on the table in front of you, that's what you're planning on saying the bracha. So basically three shittos. The Mechaber / Tosfos, your bracha is on, no matter what you plan on eating, your bracha is on the very first item, and that's it. Rama, your bracha is on whatever it is you plan on eating. Bir Halacha b'shem the Ravid, Beis Yosef b'shem the Ravid, your bracha is on whatever is in front of you. Plan or no plan. Now, what if you dafka didn't, you know, you're on a diet and you're counting calories and, you know, you just checked your Weight Watchers app or something and three jelly beans, that's what you're allowed for the month. So you can't have that fourth jelly bean. So you're planning, but there's a whole bowl on the table in front of you, but you're not allowed to have more than three. So what would the Ravid say in that case? Is the fourth jelly bean part of your bracha? L'chor negative kavana, even according to the Ravid, your bracha is only on, you know, stam das, the Ravid says, is on whatever's in front of you. But if you specifically don't want it to be on whatever's in front of you, and then you decide on the spot, like has been known to happen in history, that you're going to break your diet and you're going to eat more than 3 jelly beans because nobody is looking, so you can't gain weight when that happens. So you're going to eat a few more, so that then you'd have to recite a new bracha.
Can we assume that the machaber is even more extreme, that even if you had the explicit das to have the other food on the table that's in front of you, but since the piece of food you made the bracha on fell and you eat it, there's no the bracha dami chalos, like you need a chalos on that food, and you need a bracha.
Yeah, I think that's what the machaber say. I think it's exactly what the Mechaber is saying. Yeah.
Why is he going to? Why is the Bar Halacha saying that the Rama is not holding like the Raiva? Why can't the Rama also be saying that it's Dam Das, it's covered?
Because if you look in Beis Yosef, there are 3 Shittos in Rishon. I really should have put the Beis Yosef here. If you look in Beis Yosef, it seems that there are 3 Shittos in Rishon. He's based on Abidram and others. Now, okay, good. So this is as far as brachos, as far as birch sanenen are concerned. Before we get into birch samitzvah, let's do a bridge from birch sanenen into birch samitzvah. Let's do a mitzvah that involves recitation of a birch sanenen. Kiddush, right? So you're going to recite kiddush. He gave it away. You're going to recite kiddush. So there's going to be a baruch reagafen associated with the kiddush. So Shulchan Aruch in Reishai and Aleph Siv Tezvav in Hilchos Kiddush. Kiddush, v'kodem shetam hivsik b'dibur. You said kiddush before you taste the wine. You speak. Chozer mvarich baruch priyagafen vein sarach lachzor l'kaddish. Don't worry, you said kiddush already. Your kiddush is good, but your baruch priyagafen needs a do-over. V'adinim nishpach hakos kodem shiyitam mimenu. Same is if you said kiddush, and this has been known to happen every once in a while. Person says kiddush. And right after he finishes Kiddush, his little kid comes, running and grabs his arm. Daddy! And boom, the whole cup of wine spills all over the place. Yavi kos acher, umvarich lo bar b'yagafen ve'en atzorach lachzor l'kaddish. You need a new bar b'yagafen. Do you need a new bar b'yagafen? According to everybody? Mechaber, for sure. Right? Mechaber, for sure. What about Ramah? When you're reciting Kiddush and you say Bar B'Yagafen, what's your das on? That cup, right? Your das mastama is not on much more than that cup, right? What about Raivid? If the bottle's on the table, right? Stam das, whatever's on the table. But the Shulchan Aruch assumes l'shitaso, and even l'chara l'shitas harama. Comes along the Taz, and the Taz says, he has a somewhat of a confusing back and forth because he starts arguing with himself 3 times. So he says, "Maisa bali yadai." He says, "Let me tell you a story." Asisi kiddush al kos sheyisi savrshu yayin v'hayamayim. I said kiddush on a kos, so embarrassing. I thought it was a kos of yayin, and then I peek into the kos. It turns out it was water that I recited kiddush on. Brachas yudbeis, right? You start saying a bracha thinking it's a shakal, right? Pasuk with the shikhar, the siyam with the chamra, or vice versa. So it turns out it's water. Ubiklisheni shaya old lefanai hayabo yayin. Not to be confused with the klisheni, but in the a second coast that happened to have been on the table, there was wine in the second coast that was on the table. I already finished Kiddush, though. So he says, l'chora, I thought that I should drink the wine from the second coast. And I'm fine. I don't need a new kiddush nor a new bari priyagafen. Why not? So he says, because the whole idea of kiddush al hayayin is only derabanan. Midar raisa, what do you need to be yosei the mitzvah of kiddush midar raisa?
Amira.
You say, the Rambam says you should be zocher, something about shevach, divrei shevach v'kiddush of Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva Eiger famously in Shulchan Aruch says, Shabbat tatava. You say Shabbos is good, or good Shabbos. Some translator give it good Shabbos is enough to be yotzei the mitzvah of kiddush midaraisa. Okay, midrabanan we say you should have a whole text. Midrabanan we say kiddush al kos. Midrabanan all kiddush makom suda. But the basic mitzvah is fulfilled by Amir Rabbi Alma. So says the Taz. Good, I already did my Amira B'Alma. I already did my Amira. I learned Taisus at the beginning of Arve Pesachim, and he'll tell you that I'm Yotzi, the mitzvah of Kiddush. Okay, Kiddush al Yayin, that's only midrabanan. So I don't have to make Kiddush again. Great, you don't have to make Kiddush again. But your Kiddush is not just a Kiddush. It's a birchsanen on wine. So the Taz says, then I thought about it some more, and I thought maybe there's a chiluk. He says, maybe this is similar to the din of Kiddush Makom Suda. What's the din of Kiddush Makom Suda? You said Kiddush, you're at a shul Kiddush, let's say, right? So in order to be Yotze Kiddush Makom Suda at a shul Kiddush, what do you need to do, according to most poskim?
Mizonos,
right? So you say Kiddush, planning on being Yotze Kiddush Makom Suda. This cake that they have there looks delicious. It looks like you'll have great mizonos in front of you. And then someone, you say your Kiddush, planning on a Kiddush Makom Suda. Someone tastes the cake and says, ugh, this tastes like Pesach cake. And then the Baal Simcha says, oh, it is, we're gluten-free, so it's Pesach cake, it's everything is Pesach. So you realize there's no Kiddush Makom Suda here. So now you go home, and you can have Suda. Do you need a new Kiddush? So yeah, you need a new Kiddush. Why? Kiddush Makom Suda is only Drabana. You're already Yotze Kiddush, Midaraisa. Why do you need a new Kiddush? But that is the halacha. We paskin. Even though Kiddush Makom Suda is only Drabanan, and even though the Rashbam in Pesachim says you derive Kiddush Makom Suda from the Pasuk of Vekaras al Shabbos Oneg, which is an interesting drasha that he makes, but that's only Nasmachta Bialma. Kiddush Makom Suda is only Drabanan. So nevertheless, you have to say Kiddush again. So the Taz starts clearing not on his Bar Piagafen, but on his Kiddush. Wait, was I really Yotzei the Kiddush? If my wine spilled, Kiddush al Yayin is Drabanan. Yeah, but so is Kiddush Makom Suda. And I'm not Yotzei if my Suda spilled, if my Suda fell apart, and I had to go have the Suda somewhere else. So he raises this this Kasha, and then he says that maybe there's room to be Mechalek. He says, maybe. When it comes to Kiddush, you have to be Zachreu al Yayin. That's the Ikar Mitzvah of Kiddush. That there should be wine, I mean, on a Drabanan level. If something happened to the Yayin, so you were Kiddush Lav Kiddin, but you just weren't able to be Toim from the Yayin. You said the Kiddush al Yayin, and everything was fine. How can you fix that problem that you weren't able to be Toim on the Yayin? Be Toim different Yayin. By Kiddush Makom Suda, he says, if it turned out that you couldn't eat there, there's no way to fix that Kiddush. Meaning, when I said Kiddush on this cup of wine and then the wine spilled, what was I missing? What was I missing? I said Kiddush al Yayin. The only thing is, there's a din that you're supposed to be Toim. Right, that's all I was missing was the tima. Can I still be Toim in this location? Sure, I'll take from the second cup and I'll be Toim in this location. But when I do Kiddush Makom Suda, when I'm trying to do Kiddush Makom Suda and the Suda falls apart and I can't eat here, there's no way to salvage this Kiddush. This Kiddush is lost, it's gone. I can't salvage it anymore. So if that's the case, I'm going to have to say Kiddush again to make a Kiddush that I can actually use. One second. But he says, wait a second, and this is where our sugya comes in. Is it really salvageable? I mean, he's making this wonderful chiluk. Ah, Kiddush al Yayin, I did everything kedasu kedin. To salvage this Kiddush al Yayin, all I need to do is to be toim. Why do I need to be toim? Because there's a principle, hamevarech tzarech sheyito. The one who says a bracha has to be toim, has to taste. So I could salvage it. Just be Toim. I said the bracha already. Now just be Toim. Why is that not so glot? Not so 100% clear? I'm not being Toim on the coast that I said Kiddush. Not only that, I might have lost that bracha. I might need to say a new bracha now. And if I have to say a new bracha, which according to the Shulchan Aruch I do, according to the Ramah I probably do, if I have to say a new bracha, that first Kiddush I made is not salvageable. Because it didn't work. The Kiddush Aliyah didn't happen. I'm not saving it by saying a new bracha on a new coast. That's totally unrelated to the first Kiddush that fell apart. And therefore, l'chora, you're in trouble over here. It's not going to work, l'chora. So it's just a matter of taking this din of Birchas Hanenin, this three-way machlokas, trying to plug it in. So over here it affects your Kiddush, you know, because the Taz says, because if your bracha doesn't work, then your Kiddush doesn't work either. But if your bracha works, then your Kiddush might work. You could still salvage the Kiddush. So it actually affects the mitzvah. But let's take a Birchas HaMitzvah. Let's go into cases of Birchas HaMitzvah. It's Chanukah. And it's the fourth night of Chanukah. Kav Chaim discusses. You said your two brachos. You assumed that there was oil in the menorah. And you start lighting it. It's not lighting. Because you are not a Baal Mofes. And you cannot cause nothingness to light. There's no oil in there. You thought there was oil in there. Turns out you were wrong. So he says, Im Hashem and Lefanav, as long as the oil is there on the table, you don't have to say another bracha. What? Ah, like the Ravid. That's what the Kav Chaim said. Oh, wait a second. We pass like that Ravid? It's not like the Mechaber, not like the Ramah. Meaning, what should it depend on? According to the Mechaber, what should we say? Translating this over to Birchas HaMitzvah.
No, it
shouldn't
work.
It's got to be right in front of you. Right? It's got to be there. According to Rama, also, at least you have to have das for it. You didn't have das for the oil that's in the container. According to the Ravid, okay, it's lefanav. Wait, is that true? Okay, good. But one second. Is this cheshbon true? There was no oil in the menorah. If there was no oil in the menorah, what was your bracha going on? See, the case of Tosfos and the Shulchan Aruch was you were holding a jelly bean. Your bracha was on that jelly bean. That jelly bean is now on the floor and smushed. So the thing your bracha was on is gone, and now you need a new bracha. Case of the Kav Chaim, your bracha is on an empty menorah. So your bracha was never really on anything. There's no menorah, there's no oil. Your bracha has to go on some oil. Your bracha was never on anything. So maybe you could say, oh, look, it's one thing if my bracha was on the first jelly bean, so you could say, so it's not on the second. But if there was no first jelly bean, then my bracha obviously is on the second. If there was no oil in the menorah, my bracha is on whatever oil is there. Whatever the first oil, it's the water that hasn't come downstream yet. Ooh, but does that really work? Because what did Tosfos say? Why does my bracha work on the water that hasn't come downstream yet? Because I knew about it. If I didn't know about it, my bracha, it's not that my bracha was on the oil that hasn't come downstream yet. My bracha's on the air, because I think that air is oil. I think the air that's filling those little cups of the menorah, I think it's oil, because I'm mistaken, but I think it's oil. So l'chor, according to the Shulchan Aruch, should not work. But Avi's going to point out that, whoa, wait a second. This is Birchas HaMitzvah. What's my bracha on? Is it on oil?
It's on the mitzvah.
It's on the mitzvah. I'm not going and drinking this oil. There's no Bari Priya Eitz over here. So is my bracha on the Cheftza Shal Mitzvah? Is my bracha on the object? And what's my bracha on? A Maisa Mitzvah. Ooh, so maybe that's what makes the difference. Maybe there's a difference between Birchas Hanenin and Birchas HaMitzvah.
And the oil shouldn't need to be on the table.
Then the oil shouldn't even need to be on the table. As long as I'm able to do the Maisa Mitzvah within some proximity of my bracha, I should be okay. Yeah, it would have to be quick. But as long as I'm able to do that, it doesn't have to be on that. I don't need my das. I don't need it to be. My das is to do a Maisa Mitzvah. Does it have to dafka be this menorah? Maybe it doesn't even have to be this menorah. What if I say a bracha? Happens sometimes. My kids have similar looking menorahs. So one of them is about to light one menorah, and the other one says, no, light that one. That one's in the front. The next one's going to burn his hand reaching over. No, light the one that's in the back. After the bracha. Can you do that? According to Avi Sfar, you can, right? The bracha is on the mitzvah. It's on the ma'aseh mitzvah. It's not on the item itself. Mishra Brura quotes a binyan olam, the tshuva's binyan olam. Im natlu ha-shofar be'emtza tkios ve'eviyu lo shofar acher. They took your shofar away in the middle of the tkios, and they gave you another shofar. Ein sarach levarich. You don't have to say another bracha. Aval, bein bracha l'tchilas ha-tkios, sarach levarich. Between the bracha and the beginning of the tkios, you do have to say another bracha. Oh, wait a second. What did we just say? If you're really going to hold like Avi Svara, that a birchas mitzvah is different, that a birchas mitzvah is on the maisa mitzvah, that a birchas mitzvah is on the maisa mitzvah, then it shouldn't matter that they give me another shofar. Even though I just said the bracha, they switched out the shofar right away, and then I never got to blow a single blast from this shofar. I wasn't making a bracha on the shofar, I was making a bracha on the blowing. It doesn't matter which shofar, as long as it's kosher shofar, I don't care. So if you really, you see the Mishnah Berurah doesn't fully distinguish. He thinks that on some level the bracha is on the chefza, and it sounds that way for the Mishnah Berurah. Because the Mishnah Berurah paskins that when you're saying a bracha on the shofar, you ever see the Baal Tukeya do this? He has to hold on to the shofar while he's saying. Now he keeps it under a cloth to make it clear that the mitzvah is not the chefza itself, the mitzvah is the tkios, but he holds on to the shofar. Because the bracha has got to be chal on the shofar. So there is something about the bracha being chal on the shofar. There might be a distinction though. Rav Sacks quotes a Tshuvas Marashag that makes the following distinction. It says, someone asked the Marashag, a guy moved into a house or lived in a house, had mezuzahs, kosher mezuzahs, they were all perfectly fine. He wanted to upgrade. He was going to upgrade to very muhudar mezuzahs. So he wants to know, should he say a new bracha when he puts on the mezuzahs, the new mezuzahs? So it's clear, if you take down your mezuzah to check, and you check them and they're good, and you put them right back up, let's say same day, you know, within an hour or two, no new bracha. Why not? Mashallah davadome, you're wearing your tzitzis, you take it off for, to take a run or something, to go for a run, and you're going to schwitz a lot. So you take it off, and your run lasts 4 minutes before you're panting like a yeshiva bachur who's been sitting over a gemara for a year and hasn't done any physical activity. So, okay, 4 minutes, your run is over, you put your tzitzis back on, no new bracha. Why? You took it off with the plan of putting it right back on, same mitzvah. Right? Sounds good. But you're replacing it now. You're putting a different mezuzah. What should that be like? You went for your run and you're putting on a new pair of tzitzis. You say bracha or Shabbos. Okay, let's say you have special Shabbos tzitzis. Say bracha or not?
Yeah.
New pair of tzitzis. L'chari, yes, right? Says the Marashag, there's a difference. There's a difference. When it comes to tzitzis, the chiyuv is on the beged. The mitzvah is every beged of Dalit Kanfus requires tzitzis. It's a chiyuv on the beged. And therefore, when you put on a new beged with tzitzis, you're doing a new mitzvah. New mitzvah gets a new bracha. By mezuzah, what's the chiyuv on? The house. I'm not doing a new mitzvah when I'm upgrading the mezuzah. Same mitzvah, I'm just upgrading the mezuzah. I'm just doing it with a better mezuzah. Same mitzvah. So he says, that would not require a new bracha. It's a huge chiddush, and it's against his own Rebbe, the Maram Shik, disagrees with this. But it's a pretty decent svara, no? It would have huge ramifications with regard to other mitzvahs. Let's say the shofar example. Right? The bracha, no, what's the bracha on? Is it the same mitzvah that you're doing with the second shofar? Absolutely, it's the same mitzvah. It's just using a different chefta to achieve the same mitzvah should not require a new bracha at all. Against the Mishnah Berurah. Right? It's only by the tzitzis where it's a different mitzvah that's being accomplished when you have a new beged.
If someone that wears a talis, so they want to make a bracha on the beged they put on in the morning, and they throw shabbos and they make a masach of the tzitzis, so that's two different.
So, right. But the assumption is that you have in mind when you're putting on your talis that it's going to cover all the begadim, that bracha should cover all the begadim that you're going to wear that day. Right. So that's with das. So it doesn't need to be lefanav if you have das.
Right. If you wake up in the morning, like, you still have to sleep when you're getting dressed, and you don't necessarily have proper kavanah that when you put on your talis in a half hour or an hour from now, chakras, like, and you just throw on your tis, you don't think, like, you should, then, like, if there is that has an object, the hadassah should have to make two separate brachas according to
If you don't have das, that it should count for both, then yeah, you should. It's a big kashabetz. It's anyway. You're doing one maisa mitzvah an hour before the other. So why don't you say a bracha on the first maisa mitzvah? Right? You're doing, putting on my talis katan. I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I put on my talis katan. I go. I prepare the daf. I give the daf. 2 hours later, 6:55, I'm putting on my talis katan. I could wait 2 hours for the bracha. That's dumb, Akasha. Alright, there's obviously a lot more here, lulav and Hanukkah and other things, but that chiluk of the Marashag is an interesting chiluk, and you see that it's perhaps a little bit different when it comes to Birchus Hananin versus Birchus Hamitzvos, but also even within Birchus Hamitzvos, you see that there may be some sort of distinction. So tomorrow I think we're going to talk about fruit juices and vegetable soups and things like that, brachas and things of that nature.